Welcome to the Strangers on the Way podcast, where daily interaction with a stranger can transform your life. We hope today's episode inspires you to meet your own strangers on the way. Welcome to the Strangers on the Way podcast. I am so excited to have today's guest all the way from Europe, hailing from Scotland currently. I met Anusha Redham when I was traveling in Scotland. I went to the Glasgow Vineyard, which is a church that I had heard about for years and years and years. And some friends were serving there and got to go to a Sunday service. And Anusha ended up praying for me, and it was incredibly powerful. And I was just so moved by her gentle spirit. I felt like, I don't know if you guys have ever traveled across the world, but it can be lonely. And so it kind of felt like I was embraced by a mother or a sister, and God did some really significant healing that day in my heart. And so I was like, Anusha, you have to be on my podcast. And she gratefully said yes. And so, Anusha, welcome to the podcast. I would love to, just have you share a little bit about you, a little bit about your story as we get started.
Thank you so much, Lauren, for having me on the podcast. I think I'm just honored that you asked, and I've loved getting to know you just in even such a short time. You carry such a beautiful heart. Mm-hmm. So a little bit about me. I grew up in India, in Hyderabad, and then moved to another city called Bangalore to do my university education. And I think in my last year of university, I encountered Christ in a very powerful way. And since then, the course of my life has really been just, it's been a roller coaster ride, to say the least. My husband and I moved here so that I could study my master's in law up in Dundee. And then he got a job in Glasgow, so we moved here. So now we're a family of three. I have a little baby boy. And we're here now.
The cutest little baby boy. I got to see him running around.
He's very cute.
How has it been being a mom?
I really, really enjoyed it. I didn't think I would, but it came to me as a surprise. And I know it's so cliche, and people say, you know, you lay your eyes on your child and the whole world stops, and it really does. And I think one of the things I do have to say, I think after I gave birth to my child, I was just so amazed by women in general. I would look at every woman and be like, you did that? You did that? You did that? It's just incredible that you would carry a child for 9 months, give birth to it, and birth can be complicated for different people at different levels, and then you have to feed it and take care of it for like a wee while. So I think I just grew in awe of women in general. I think they carry so much strength. And mothers, especially in those early days, aren't told that as much. And you doubt yourself a lot. And I think, I think mothers are fantastic.
Yeah.
Every mother in every capacity, and women in general, irrespective of being a mother or not, we're amazing.
Mm-hmm. No, I feel that way. I feel like women, it's really beautiful because there's this like tenderness and beauty and grace to women, mm-hmm. but then there also is this like fierce protective strength. Like you would protect your child, like, you know, you would forego like yourself to protect your child. And so there's this like, it's such an interesting combination. I've been very like, wow, same thing. Like women are amazing and don't always recognize how amazing they are. But I love that we can tell each other and that's a big role in relationships and for everyone just calling out the best in one another and seeing it in one another. So that's so powerful. I love that. Well, I know you also have a faith that's important to you. How did that come about? What is your relationship like with Jesus, and anything else you want to share?
I was quite young when I even knew what Jesus was, or like, I think, when you're growing up, I went to a convent for a little bit, so you would see this nailed Jesus on a cross, and you'd be like, oh, that's such a dire image, like, I don't know what they're. What is that religion? You don't fully understand it. Also, it is a religion, where we'd be told to say all of these prayers, and it never made sense. I'm like, why are we talking about blood and all of these things? Like, it's for someone who doesn't know anything about it, it's just gory, and it's not something you sort of are drawn to. And I really never paid attention to the concept of God, even, and I don't think I really believed in God. But it was when I was in college, I made, I think most people do, but like I made very poor choices. And I think my poor choices were not just poor choices, but they actually like impacted me to some level and were causing a lot of distress to me and that kind of situation. Around that time, I think I went home for summer holidays and my mom said that one of my cousin's husband was healed, and that didn't make sense. Like, it was a very random statement to hear. And she said, I don't know what it's about either. But the background to that was he was diagnosed with brain tumor and they did a surgery. And she herself is a doctor. And they said, we've removed it to the cell level. He should be fine. It reoccurred very shortly. And they said, we can't do anything at this stage. And she was a secret Christian because I didn't know that. Nobody knew that, but he wasn't, and he was really against it. But she sort of said, oh, I know someone who can fix this. This is a great opportunity for you to see what God can do. Dragged him to like a healing meeting that was happening. And this was in the US, actually, in New Jersey. And he was also wheelchair bound because his nervous system was affected and stuff. And he suddenly got up and started walking, pointing towards something. And he was healed. Yeah, they never found any traces of tumor after that. And I think that conversation started like 2 3 months of like everyday debates with her, and my own search of like, what is the deeper meaning of life? I think I always had that question. I would read a lot of literature, books, and be like, what, how can it be that, you're just born and you go to school, then you do well in school, you go to college, you do well in college, get a good job, you get married, have children, save for your children, retire well and die. Like, how can it be that it's just those steps for people's life and everyone's looking for something like to hold on to? I sure was, and I know so many people around me were, and everyone's trying to find something that will fill you, and you try everything, and you think relationships do that, and they don't. You think you'd find that in a job, and it doesn't. It fades, like all of it just begins to fade. And I always would describe it very early on that, there's always like a hole that nobody can fill. And I could never understand what it was. I'm like, why am I not satisfied enough? Why do I still crave for more love or more understanding or for more being seen for who you are? And so this whole concept of Jesus like really hit me. I couldn't believe that God was interested with like human beings, not just human beings, but human beings that make all kinds of choices. And he's willing to really not bother about your choices, but bother about you. Which I think was a very strange concept coming from like the religion that I did. That he wasn't really interested in religion, like he wasn't interested in what the way I looked externally, or like how I'd show up, or the kind of language I'd use, or like all of these to-do lists that most religions have, or what you could do and couldn't do. But he just wanted to meet me where I was without absolutely any of that, and saying, you know what, I'm unbothered by anything, like I just want to hold you and embrace you, which for me was a really, really wild concept that God, like who created all of heaven and the universe, and we had this aurora borealis come up, like just It's just so beautiful. Like he did all of that. And then he's like, oh, no, but like I want you. In a very, very real sense, not just want you, but I want to know you, want to hear everything. And you know that my love covers it all, right? Like to reiterate that again and again. So to really understand, Jesus was not just this God on a cross, but like he actually rose to life. And he offers that life to like every single person, irrespective of your background. And your backgrounds can be so varying. And that he's a God of everyone, of all things, and he's willing to meet you where you're at. I think that, yeah. So I think it took no time for me to say, yeah, this is it. Let's do this, God. I know it's going to be a while, but let's do this. Yeah, so I gave my life to Jesus, and it has been a ride. Yeah, it's been a ride in the loveliest way.
Wow. That's so beautiful. Oh, how has he led you throughout your life? How do you connect with him? I know people connect in different ways. I love to like break it down for people, and make like faith accessible and like Jesus accessible. What does it look like to you to connect and to hear from him and to follow him and in like your day to day?
I think one of the things that's sort of like mystical to everyone is in general is that you can connect with something and it will tell you things about your life. And people look for that in Eastern religions and outside of that and spirit guides and you know there's so much available for people to tap into because everyone is curious about is there worth in me? Is there worth in my life? What does something beyond what's happening around me see in me? So then I think that goes back to the question that everyone has that ache and hunger in them anyway. They're inquisitive to know that there's something beyond them and earth and people that's overlooking, that's like overarching, overlooking. And I think I'm saying all of that to say, Jesus embodies a relationship. He doesn't embody religion. And so for me, on a day-to-day basis, it means that I can talk to him about the most mundane things, about like, I'm hating to have to plan dinner and cook today, to like, I was really hurt by all of those things, and all of these things are coming up for me from my childhood or from a recent interaction with your colleagues or friends. He really covers it all. It could go as deep and ugly, or it could be a conversation about, I want to go shopping. I'm going to take you along with me, Jesus. What do you like? Because that is what he offers. He offers that level of friendship. And it's not just for someone special, it's for everybody. He's willing to talk to you about everything. You can talk to him about everything, but also I think the upside of this is he's going to talk to you, not just about you, but everyone around you, and give you a perspective that will really blow your mind, because he sees people with such tenderness and love and hope and excitement. I feel like when I pray for people, I always just sense God's excitement for them. Because he's excited about your life and he sees like so much more. So on a day-to-day basis, I think that's who he is. That's who you can carry with you. Not even carry, he's just there. It's just a conversation that you can engage just like you would with your friends, where you pick up a phone or like talk to them because they're next to you. But this one goes with you really anywhere. It could be in your bathroom or it could be out at a work dinner, it could be anywhere. And I think I never fully understood how he's so interested in my life or like interest and makes you feel like you're the special one, but really everyone is a special one. So yeah, it spreads into your life, everything that you do. Yeah, he offers that and I dig it.
I dig it. Oh, I love
But
that. How do you hear him talking to you? So you share with him like, I'm gonna take you shopping, or what does it look like to hear back from him? I know I work with a lot of young adults and they're like, how do you hear his voice? Like, what is that like? Yeah.
I hate saying it's like ABC or like 1, 2, 3. Like these are the ways that you can hear. There are ways that you can hear, but I think he's so personal to each and everyone,
Yes.
because he sees what your personality is like, what kind of what you know. Like we talk about love languages with how we are with people in relationships. God gets your love language, so he will speak to you in ways that you're able to receive it. But I would say he speaks to you through dreams. He would speak to you through like impressions in your mind. Sometimes it'll feel like a tender whisper that's telling you something about someone or your day. And it could be through the Bible. Really, it's such a wide range, and I think it's so different from person to person. And I think if you're just there saying, God, I want to listen to you, I will guarantee you he will speak to you. Like I feel like a lot of times people say some people are gifted to hear God and some people aren't. And I really disagree with it, because that's not how a relationship would work right then. It has to be two ways. And I think everyone has the access to hear God's heart, and see he can give you like visions, and you have this even in the natural. People who don't know Jesus also have dreams, and they feel like they have instinct and all of these kind of things that I feel like is from God. And he wants to talk to you. He wants to talk to you when you're conscious and subconscious. And so I think there's so many various ways, as I just mentioned. And if you just sit and quiet yourself down and just say, I just want, like, for a change, I just want to hear you. Because I think a lot of times, at least with me, I tend to rattle on and on to God. But I think the minute you just quiet in for like half a second, he's so faithful. That's the thing. You don't need to put effort into it. It's just like, when you and I are talking, you're pausing for me to finish saying what I'm saying, and you're listening to me. It's even more simpler. Like you just take a breath and you just calm down, and there he is, like telling you everything, and you're like, I could have done this like a long time back. But it's easy, and it's supposed to be easy. It's not something that is complicated and complex. Like he's your father. He's your father. He's gonna want to tell you everything, like your own biological father would want to. He's excited to talk to you and hear from you and tell you and teach you. Yeah. I hope I'm answering your question.
Yes, it's so beautiful. I love like that he's a father, because I think sometimes I'm like, okay, I have to strive, I have to hear your voice, or like, but it's like, no, he really wants to help you. And so just even like, can you help me? Like, can you help me be still? Can you help me like pause? Can you help me listen? Can you help me recognize your voice? It's so, yeah, he's like, he's a good dad, you know, and like
He is.
we're kids, like we don't know what we're doing. But yeah, he can get the messages to us. Yeah.
Yes,
Oh, I love it.
absolutely, absolutely.
It's so beautiful. I can see you have just such a sweet, yeah, sweet relationship with him. And yeah, it's beautiful. I love that he says like childlike faith is like such a big part of the kingdom, and that's what it is. Like we're just kids with our dads, and really good dads.
Yeah, just to say, if you look at the world around, my brother and I always say this, and we're really, really close, and we always say this to each other, like, have we ever grown up? Like you feel like you mature at one point and you know all adult things, but it's not necessarily that you have it all together or you know it all, and you're still really, there's a part of you that's always going to be a child. And you're always going to want to have something that will guide and hold and reassure you and journey with you. And that's what Jesus offers to us, I think, is I am this constant dad. Like, there's no variation with me. I'm a good father. Like, I don't do things to hurt you, to get you off course or any of these things. Like, the thing is, he comes with just that extra layer of exactly what we need, because we're all looking for it. And there's a child in us that just sort of never really is an adult. And I think that's good, right? That we don't really have to adult all the time.
Yes. It is very comforting. And yes, you're so right. It's beautiful. Well, you said something before we started recording about God also turning deep suffering into deep joy. And that line just like jumped out at me. Could you share a little bit about that? I know you've seen some deep suffering in some of your work. But yeah. What does that line mean to you, and like, how have you seen that happen?
I think it's like a really personal belief that, he turns deep suffering into deep joy. And I don't know if I've ever said this out loud, let alone in like a public space like this, but as a child, I was sexually abused, and it was really hard for me to even like accept it. And I think that is really the case for everyone who suffers any level of abuse, is you don't even recognize it. You said, oh, is that what it was? Even as adults, you don't give it the weight and the words. And it's sort of, unfortunately, the way we've been made is all of it impacts you for years to come, and you won't even know why. What's causing you to behave the way you do as an adult, or why certain things add up to something else. And I think to see God heal me in those areas, and I never wanted to be married, to be married and have a child, and just him turning my own personal suffering into my own personal joy. But also, and it happened to me quite a lot, like even when I was in college before I came to Christ. And I didn't even give it that space till even more recently, that I felt like God was really throwing light. That wasn't your fault, and you said no many times. So it's all of these things that over time get you to see, wow, like it doesn't make him uncomfortable to see my brokenness, because all, and also your shame, because whether we like it or not, all of it brings shame. And to say that he brings joy in that space, like it's such a contradictory thing to be brought into spaces. And lets you work through it, and not just gives you joy, but replaces that with something so contrasting. Like, it's not something you would have imagined for yourself. And he did that with me to the point that I would get dreams about people suffering. In India, we have something called temple prostitution. I don't know if you've heard of it, but like they're called Devadasis, and they're women who are given to priests for sexual use, really. And their daughters that are born into it also have to be given to the priests and seen as an offering. And these women would keep coming back into my dreams, or like at God would speak to me about them. And it was really that verse in the New Testament that talks about how this immoral woman was being stoned by everyone because she's an adulteress and she sleeps with a lot of men. And Jesus stops them. Like, he's God. So if in a non-Christian way, if you didn't know Jesus, God should punish you, right? But he stops them from stoning her and says, unless you haven't done anything wrong, don't point a finger at her, like don't stone her. And that broke me in a sense because it allowed me to see God's tender heart to someone who, it's easy to say that she's immoral, but she's stoned too. I don't think she woke up one morning and said, this is what I desire from this. And that he sees that, not so much what the society is labeling as immoral, and grabs onto that and protects her, redeems her. And that was along with him talking to me about this and just there's also a lot of blame, right, around this. Like if you have a general conversation with people, like, you know, some of these things, you know, the woman is to blame. Like, I'm sure she did something, those are the choices she made. Well, why could anyone force you to put yourself in that position? But unfortunately, there is a lot of coercion and deception in that world, which is beyond a woman saying no. And it's not so straightforward. And not just a woman, I think that got me, just generally, people live lives that's not what they've chosen for themselves. And long story short, basically, at that point, I was praying a lot more, and I was working in Thomson Reuters, so a very secular space. I did an economics degree, and there was one colleague who was a Christian, and I was talking to him, saying, "I don't know, God's talking to me about all of these things." And he says, "Have you heard of IJM and what they do? They work with human trafficking." I said, "What is human trafficking?" Because I didn't even know what it was. It wasn't something I went looking for or to understand. And then began like a whole journey with God to understand his heart for justice and his heart to restore, really, that and to give people dignity, to see them with worth that they've always had. And so, yeah, that is really my understanding of him turning really deep suffering into deep hope and deep joy. I'd say it's more hope I would put there because there's hope for all of them. That, you know, there's a lot of conversation sometimes when you say, you know, someone who's like been raped all their life because of a situation they've been in, because of trafficking, or sometimes just because a family member did that to them their whole life. And you'd say that's really hopeless, like they won't be able to like live a normal life. And I feel like that's where Jesus comes and changes that and says, no, I can absolutely give them a clean slate without having to carry this backpack of baggage with them about what's happened to them. And I feel like that hope you cannot find anywhere. There's no amount of therapy. Don't get me wrong, I love therapy, but like there's no amount of therapy that can replace hope. And hope is something that really has come from God. You can try and you will hit dead ends. And that's when, you know, that's why people say there is no hope for them, because it is not possible if God doesn't give you that hope and allows you to see what he sees for you and how he sees you and restores your identity of yourself. Because he sees you as wonderful, beautiful, cherished, worthy, worth someone's time, effort, energy. And that's for everybody. Because I think everybody has gone through some level of deep suffering in their life. It doesn't have to be as dramatic as abuse. But I truly believe there is suffering in this world. And Jesus has come to give hope. Yeah. And really cover you with that and embrace you where you're at and restore you.
Oh, I'm just blown away. Thank you. That's so beautiful. I don't even have words. I know there's probably people listening where that's been a part of their story. And maybe they haven't touched that, pain, or maybe they're walking in the midst of it. Like, What would you say to them?
I think one, I just want to acknowledge where you're at. Like, I think a lot of times people are compared to bigger problems or like something bigger happening in the world to minimize what you're going through. I just want to say that it doesn't matter who you are, where you've been, what you've done or not done. It could be that you're battling with mental health issues. It could be that you're battling with years of abuse. It could be that you're battling with lack of employment that you've pushed and looked for a very long time. It could be that you're battling with a sense of loneliness, or it could be you're battling with a sense of feeling like, yeah, your identity, like nobody loves you, nobody sees you. It doesn't matter where you are, how deep or not deep it is deep for you. And I just want to say, God sees you. He sees you exactly where you are. He's not fazed by anything. He is the calm for every storm. And he just wants to hold you and tell you he loves you. Nothing that you need to do for it. Just hear it, receive it, and enjoy it. That is all. That is all that I'd say, that just receive it. He will take you on the journey after that. But in the place that you are, just know that you're so treasured. Yeah. You're a treasure to God and to this world. And you're worthy of everything, every good thing in this world. Just let him love on you. Yeah, that's really what I would say. Let him just love on you.
It's beautiful. As we end, I just feel the sense to invite people into that maybe moment of silence with God. But could you lead them into that with like a prayer, a blessing? And then listeners, if you're able to just spend, 5 minutes in silence to let him love you, I would just invite you, or later on in the day when you have time. I just feel like, yeah, God is wooing people right now just to come close. So would you mind just like leading people into that?
God, I thank you that your love is so wide, so deep, so high, that it is for every single person. And it's so relentless, Father. I just pray that right now, whoever is listening to this podcast, wherever they are at, you see it, you know it, there's nothing that you do know. And you just want to meet them where they're at. So I pray that whoever is listening to this, they just feel a blanket of your love. Anyone that's just looking for an embrace, God's there standing to embrace you, hold you, and cover you, and comfort you. So I just pray that you just enjoy an abundance of his love that he just wants to pour over you. And touch some deep places in your heart that you've kept away, and he just wants to hold you where you're at. So, Lord, I just pray that they experience your love like Lauren and I both have, because there's nothing that can replace it. And we give you all glory. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Anusa. Such a gift to hear from your heart today.
Thank you so much, Lauren. Thank you so much for, yeah, asking me to come. It's been such an honor to, yeah, talk about what God is and who He is to us.
Thank you so much.